And this 18th chapter is the summary conclusion. So almost everything that's in the Bhagavad Gita is in this chapter and even more, which is the final conclusion. And that's what you get in a treatise. You'll get an opening statement, a general statement that has to be proven. And the development means that we move from this general statement to a logical conclusion. And along the way, we give evidence as to why we have come to a particular conclusion and why we should. So this is such an important chapter because it gives us to the important conclusion of the entire Bhagavad Gita. And even our being here today, it explains the value. We're sitting here today and we're trying to study Bhagavad Gita. And even if we're just listeners, we'll find out in the 18th chapter how much benefit there is to listening, how much benefit there is. This is actually, ours is a little more inclined towards a study, but that means you're worshiping Krishna by your study. And by trying to explain it to others, as I'm trying to share today, and you should also try to share with others, you become the most dear to Krishna. And he says it himself in the Bhagavad Gita. So I think we're all very fortunate to be here in Vrindavan in Prabhupada's house and covering in particular this very, very special chapter, chapter 18. Now, when we go over this and we do these presentations, we like to use themes. So we're going to ask Abhay to take us to some of the theme slides. We have two special themes today, general themes, and then with each topic, we will have another theme. And we've been doing this with our other classes. It seems to help people understand better what it is we're supposed to realize in our own lives. Sometimes the philosophy seems a little abstract and maybe it doesn't seem as relevant. But actually it is, and we try to draw in themes so that we can make relevance to our own lives, because without the Bhagavad Gita's instructions, we really won't know how to proceed in spiritual life. Okay, let's go to the slides of Arjuna and our Uddhava, and we'll also look at the slide of Krishnadas Kaviraj. So we'll do this. Let's take Krishnadas Kaviraj slide first. Do you have that one handy? All right. The approach that we use is systematic. And sometimes people find that that might not be so relevant. The Vedic method was to just sit and listen. But actually, if you study the Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see one, and the Gita also, you'll see one thing unique about the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj is speaking to the reader. There is not another person there to ask questions. So because he has to speak to the reader, he makes very clear what he's doing. He'll say, in the first 14 verses of this book, I'm presenting the preface or the outline. And he will tell you in every chapter, now this is the fourth verse, and he will elaborate on it. So it's actually, he's got a study guide built in to the CC. So the way we study is actually, we're following in that example. So if you're reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, you might try to note that a little more clearly, that he falls into what we call the very reader-friendly or listener-friendly category. He makes it very easy for one to follow where we are. So the approaches that we use in trying to study, doing an overview, is very systematic, and we do the interactions and we repeat a lot so that it actually is something you can retain. So here you see he's receiving the permission of the deity, Madan Mohan, and he's about to write, and throughout the entire book he's saying, I am now, will explain at the end, he will say, I have now just told you. So he repeats at the beginning and the middle and the end. So that helps us understand why we're doing things the way we do. All right, let's take a look also at our other theme slides. So Krishnadas Kaviraj is the model for studying in a systematic way. And we were going to look now at the slide again of Krishna and Arjuna, because this instruction that we're getting from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, we will also see that in the Bhagavatam, Uddhava asks many of the same questions. And just as Krishna is explaining to Arjuna essential philosophy. He's giving similar, only more elaborate definitions of the philosophy, explanation of philosophy to Uddhava. But there's one additional section in there that we will use as a model for today. And in that section, there's a major portion that's called the Avadhut Brahmana. And it's he talks about 24 gurus, how he became enlightened just by observing the world around him. So Uddhava, it's actually a narration. He's listening to this narration within the instructions. So we don't have that in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna doesn't depart into telling a narration. But he does to Uddhava. And we will be using that example because in the Bhagavad Gita, we will see points that help us remember to Krishna. But in the Uddhava Gita, we learn how to look at the environment as giving a lesson. You understand the point? We not only, just for instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, if we see the essence of water, we're supposed to think of Krishna, right? He's the taste of water. But in the Uddhava Gita, it goes further. In other words, there will be a lesson in water. There will be a lesson. So what we're going to be doing today is using items that will help us get a lesson. What is the moral point here that we should be getting? It's beyond just remembering. This is instructive. And what happens is that the whole world then becomes your guru, becomes your instructor. You learn to look around and you learn to see, oh yes, there's a lesson here. Yes, this is something I should do. Yes, this is something I should not do. A lesson can be an injunction. It can be a prohibition. Either way, it's a lesson. Is that clear to everybody? Do you understand what we're going to be doing today? Okay. So that is the theme, again, the 24 gurus idea, and also Krishnadas Kaviraj's, what we call listener or reader-friendly approach to study. All right? Now, let us take a look at this little study guide we have first. We'll go through that so you'll understand what your materials are. Because this chapter is so extensive, we've had to leave out, just for the sake of volume, many of the activities we've had in previous ones. We didn't try to include a checklist for values, objectives, and we didn't try to include all the analogies and examples. It was becoming too voluminous. But let's take a look at what we do have, so you know what it is you have to keep for you, for your own independent study. First of all, the cover, and then on the inside, what we will learn today. This is our take-home points. These are my objectives for you as listeners or participants. We have the study section, and that we will be filling in. All right. After that, we have the slokas, and there are 78. And the slokas are bold-faced, where it's an important word. We call those content words. After that, we have the key memory verses. This chapter has 11, quite a few. And, I mean, not key memory, some are also key thematics. So we have quite a few verses that are considered very important to know. There is essence, the essence of this chapter. And then we have an extensive definition section. That I did put in quite a few pages. But that's coming from the purports. Whatever word Srila Prabhupada thought we should have a special understanding of, he elaborates in the purport. So we've added that. That's quite a few pages. And then, of course, we have the scriptural references. The other two sections, as I said, unfortunately, it's just too voluminous. We couldn't include those. But when we get the soft copy for people who receive these things online, those will be included. Now you have another part. These are your activity charts part. So in this, we have charts for the Gyan section, and there are activities because you'll see the chart presented twice. You'll see the chart with the information, and below it, you'll see the information blocked out. So this gives you an opportunity. Either you can write it in, or you can put your hand there, and you can say, oh yes, do I know this? And you can double check. So this is considered an activity worksheet for the Gyan section, and then after the Gyan section, you'll see the same thing, a little mind map chart, the information plus the blank for you to fill in, either mentally or by hand, for the 18th chapter. and that gives you a little mind map model for the seven topics. Okay? Following this, I used to use these and hand them out. Before I learned how to use the little tablets, I was doing everything by hand, which was quite laborious, so I don't do that so much now. It's slower and not as effective in some ways. So you have little icons. I used to call them icons for all of the 78 verses. So that's four sides there, from 1 through 78. And in the icon, and you'll see the main word, and the verse is even written out small. So they'll just help you remember the flow of the chapters. After that, we have picture charts, and these are the ones we focus on in our presentations. Little picture charts with the information and a blank before it. Each of these pictures represents the topic. So we have on one side the first three, which we'll be covering today, and on the second side, the next four, which we'll be covering tomorrow. If you come tomorrow and you are able to bring your study guides along with you, keep them today. These are yours to keep. But we only make a very limited number, and we won't probably have enough for again tomorrow. So please bring it along if you decide to do both parts. Then you see charts again for the key verses, the ones that are key memory, and the ones that are key thematic. There are double stars on the memory verses. Those are required if students decide to do Bhakti Shastri, which I think is now a requirement for initiation. Any devotees have to do that. Okay? Next we have a keywords chart, and it's a little chalkboard, and some of the main words that are important to know in this chapter. Following that, we have what we call pearl charts. They're little circles, and in the circles there are numbers, and below the number you'll see a word. And this is a learning skill where I try to reduce something to the minimum. And these words are stepping stone words. They're link words. They take us from one sloka to the next. And for the facilitator, we will be using these to summarize a section. So each time we get more and more specific. We start with the big picture, general information, and like a satellite, we zoom in. We zoom in and zoom in and zoom in, and we can zoom out again. So that's how we study, zooming in to get details and zooming out to get big pictures. So there are quite a few slokas, so you have quite a few pearl charts. Okay. Then at the very, very end, I think it just ends with the pearl charts, right? We had to restrict which things we were giving priorities to, because it was too extensive to do everything that we do on shorter chapters. Is everybody now clear on what the study guide affords? Hey, good to see you, Subal. Join us on that. All right. Now, I will pull out my little tablet. We're going to do a little bit of some exercise work. And we'll turn to the inside of your cover, right? You got your inside of your cover here. And these are called the take-home points. These we do at the very beginning. This is what we call your basic diet. This you should know. So can everybody turn now to that page? All right. If you have a healthy diet, you should have your rice, your dal, and your chapatis, right? You won't just eat milk sweets all day. But you would like the milk sweets, right, as the dessert. But without the rice, dal, and chapatis. So if your mother's cooking for you, or you're cooking for your family, you want to make sure they have the healthy diet first. So when we do a facilitation, we want to make sure all of you know the most important things. Anything we have time for, or anything you add later, it's limitless. Okay? But this is the rice, dal, chapatis for this chapter. All right, so the first thing that we all need to know is the chapter title. Now, you would be surprised. Often you would think, well, every devotee must know that. But that's not always the case. Sometimes people are busy or they don't have time to commit things to memory. So let us now make sure we know everything, and we want to make sure everybody does. That's my commitment. These are the take-home points. If you walk out of here, somebody will ask you, what's the title of Chapter 18? And you'll be able to say. Okay. And you also, if you notice here on the study section, that there's a place to write that. Okay? So here we go. I think this is working. All right. And you can all see my tablet as well? This helps you know what to fill in. And by reinforcing, and use your pens and write them in. These are activity sheets. They're not just meant to put away when you get home. Use them. You'll be more apt to keep them out. All right, so the first thing we want to know is the title of this chapter. And the most important thing, and I use just letters, is conclusion. Right? This is the conclusion. We talked about it. Everything has three parts. This is the concluding part. And it's called the perfection of what? Renunciation. This is very important because renunciation is the theme of the Bhagavad Gita. But how do we understand renunciation? How do we define it? And what's the perfectional stage? And the answer comes in this chapter. What is renunciation? Because Arjuna is asking that. What is the purpose? Krishna defines it. He tells the purpose of it. He tells how it's expressed in the modes. And he tells you the conclusion. Okay? So the chapter title is what? Conclusion? The perfection of renunciation. We don't want to just memorize the words like a parrot. We want to actually, because the Gita is deep. You can read it again and again and again. Each time it seems like a new book. Because you're progressing in your realizations, so you understand more and more. Okay? So the conclusion, this chapter number is 18, right? And the title is again? Conclusion. The what? The perfection of renunciation. What is that? He wants to know. And we'll be taking you through the series like that. So everybody knows that. All right, this may seem elementary, but you will be surprised. I've even met some scholars who didn't know that. So, you know, consider, we never assume anything in education. You have to make sure everybody's on board and everybody learns. All right, the next step. How many slokas are in this chapter? I'm sorry, what's the chapter number again? 18. And how many slokas are here? 78. This is a big one. This is the largest chapter in the Gita. The introduction is chapter 2, and that has 72. They're both large because, again, a summary introduction and a summary conclusion have to cover everything. So here's the key, 18 and 8. All right, 8 and 8. We always use a backup. You have a backup on your computer. You have a backup phone or something like that. You have to have backup to remember something. You tend to see to just remember something once. It's difficult. So the 18th chapter, how many slokas will we find? Everybody? Loudly? 78. Okay, don't be afraid to say it loudly because people on the radio are not apprised of the visuals. But they can hear you if you repeat it loudly. All right, so the next thing we want to learn, we know the number of chapters, the size. We want to know which section will we find this in. The Bhagavad Gita is in three sections, right? 1, 2, 3. Where will we find it? It's in the Gyan section, the final one, right? So you can put Gyan Yoga in that one. It's in the final section. The beginning is Karma Yoga, and the middle is what? Bhakti Yoga. There are three sections. Bhakti, being the pearl, is like they say, between the shell of the oyster, the two shells. So Gyan is the final section, and it's the last chapter of the Gyan section. Okay? Each section is 6 chapters, 18. By the way, I counted up the Uddhava Gita the other day, and it's also 18 chapters. I hadn't realized that before. 18 is a very important number. All right? So did everybody know, if someone asks you, what section is that in, what will you say loudly? Gyan, right. Don't be afraid. You know, it'll actually, if you participate, your retention goes way up. It's for your benefit. You know, we're not here to do useless activities. All of these things are beneficial for us. All right, now the next thing we need to know is how many topics will we be covering? Because if we know the topics, we know, again, we're zooming in now, we know what Krishna is going to talk about. So how many topics do we have in this section?
Seven.
Right, this is the biggest. 7 topics. And we see there a progression. They start from the beginning level of Krishna conscious understanding, and they go all the way up to the highest platform. It's progressive. Krishna is progressive. He's not random. And that's why we try to study progressively, because random does not produce effective results. It will give you something, but it's a bit chaotic. So here we have seven topics. Okay? Seven topics. All right. Now, the next thing we want to know, and we use other numbers again. Numbers, it's a good way to organize things. Like on your computer, they'll say, do you want to organize your information alphabetically? Do you want to organize your information numerically or by topic or theme? So numbers are a good way to try to remember points. So we use some numbers from here on. We'll use the number one. What is the objective of the Bhagavad Gita? Can you see it on the screen? Pure devotional service. That is the objective of the Prabhupada says that in the purport to the first sloka. So what is the point of the Bhagavad Gita? That everyone must come to the platform of what? Pure devotional service. That is the objective. If somebody was wanting a book or you're trying to sell the book, well, what's the point of this book? That every human being needs to come to the platform of pure devotional service. All right, now the next thing is we're going to learn that there are, I looked for number two. What was there a number two in there? This doesn't mean the second section. But in a way, and these sort of match, that there are two designations and we have two things. What do we have? The what? Soul and the super soul. This realization is critical. This is gyan. Because if you don't have gyan, Prabhupada says you can't come to the Brahma-Bhuta stage. You won't be able to think and act properly. So you have to be aware of the presence of super soul in everything that's happening and everything we do. All right, so that's number two, the soul and the super soul. That's described in the gyan section. Very, very technical. We have a very technical section to try to understand today. We have three modes, obviously. I have that down a little lower. Let's do those. You see the three modes. What are those? Explain. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. That's a big section, huge section. And we go back up, three motivators of action. And that's very technical. Every action that takes place that we do, there's a subtle form of work. And that breaks down into three things. There has to be knowledge. There has to be a knower. He wants the knowledge. And what's the object? What's to be known? Let's give you an example. We want to make a rasgulla. We have to have the information, the knowledge, right? We are the knowers. And what's the object? The rasgulla, okay? Every activity, he breaks it down very scientifically. This is coming from Vedanta Sutra, that you have to have three things. This is the subtle form of work before you do something. You have to have the knowledge, the knower, and what do you know? What's the object of that? That's also explained in chapter 13. All right, another thing that's three, even more technical, is the, did we put that in? Confidential, more confidential, three things. The three constituents, yes. And these are all described in the modes. This is this section is actually very technical. We have the senses, the work, and the doer. So we'll explain this on the chart. We go into that. So we have the senses to do your work. You have to have the work itself, and you have to have the person doing it. Then the work takes place. Now somebody might say, why do I have to know all this? But this section is so technical but so difficult that without knowing it, you won't act properly. So we'll pray to Krishna that we can try to make this very clear today. Because without the knowledge of the super soul and without the knowledge of how the modes affect all of these things, the knowledge, how the modes will affect the work, how they will affect the worker, how they will affect the action, we have a slide series on that. It's critical. So please be attentive. And it's interesting, Krishnadas Kaviraj keeps saying that in the CC. He says, now listen with attention. So we will ask you to do the same because it's critical for your spiritual life. All right, now we have how many varnas? How many varnas do we have? Four. And we see numbers after them. B would be for what? What is it for? Brahmanas. How many points are there? Nine qualities. These are some of the verses that have to be remembered. Nine qualities for the Brahmana. What's the K for? Louder? Come on. You people, come on. I know it's cold, but louder.
Kshatriya.
That's it. Now you sound like Kshatriyas. You know, before you were a little bit Brahmanas, we'll let you get away with it. But for the Kshatriya, we should be able to hear you. How about the V? What's that for?
Vaishya.
Okay, some people here might like money, right? How many qualities for a Vaishya?
Three.
Notice it goes down. The Brahmana has to have more qualities, right? And the Kshatriya, he has fewer, right? What about the Vaishya? What about the Sudra?
Two.
So the more the responsibility, the higher the order. And that means the greater the responsibility. And he has to have more qualification. I mean, if you're going to have to be, you know, a guru or a temple president, or you have to have the skills, or you're gonna mess the situation up. And yourself, you'll suffer, and everybody else will suffer. So it's again 9 for the Brahmana. How many for the Kshatriya?
7.
We may not memorize them all, but we know. How many for the Vaishya?
3.
And how many for the Sudra?
2.
Okay. And since in Kali Yuga most people are what? So we have to be honest about ourselves. We can't expect too much, but Lord Chaitanya's mercy covers the bases. All right? 5 factors of action. 5. Oh, here is really getting technical. We have B, P, S, E, plus S. Now, the S is super soul. Okay? He's the critical one. Because whoever does not know super soul is the sanctioner, he will not act. He will think he's doing it. And he will act against his self-interest. So devotees know, super soul is the ultimate sanctioner. But what are the 4 other material parts? B is for the body. What's B for? Okay, P is for the performer. That's for the individual. S are for the senses. And E is for the what? Endeavor. Now this is very technical. We have slides on this also. B is for what? The body. What's P for? Performer. What about S?
Senses.
Yes, your mind is also in that category. It's also the master of the senses. It's in 2 categories. It's in the subtle category. It's also in the gross category. And you have E for the endeavor. Okay? Body, performer, senses, endeavor. And who's the big sanctioner? Super soul. If you don't know that, and most of the people on the planet don't know that, they think they're doing something, and what happens? Well, what's wrong with that? You have to take the reaction. If you think you're doing it, you have to take the reaction for it. And that's explained. That's why this section is so critical, even for devotees. You can tell which devotees are really advanced when you ask them, and you praise them, you say, oh, thank you, you did such a nice thing. They'll say, I didn't do anything. But the less evolved they are, they'll say, oh yeah, well I did this and I did that and I'll do that. And they may know something, but the degree to which we know this philosophy is the degree to which we are freed of the modes. And that's the point. We have to become freed from the clutches of the modes. Everybody clear so far, or are we already in deep water? How are you doing, Subal? Is it clear?
Yes.
Or too much, huh? It's very technical today. All right, so 7 items in the modes. Now we have a really nice way to learn that. The 7 items, you see R-K-A-W-U-D-H. All right, we have a little memory sloka. Can you all say Radha Krishna? Louder. What's that stand for? R-K, right? R-K. Radha Krishna? A-W, always wait. What do they do? They always wait. Until when? Until dawn. Okay, and H is an old word. It's hearkens. When the dawn comes, it hearkens. Radha Krishna, what does R-K stand for?
Radha Krishna.
A-W?
Always wait.
What's U-D?
Until dawn.
And what's H?
Harkens.
Hark, hark the lark. It's coming from Shakespeare. Okay, and we will learn what those mean. R is for renunciation. What's R for?
Renunciation.
K is for knowledge. What's it for?
Knowledge.
Okay.
A is for action. Always is for what?
Action.
Yes, this is defined in the modes. And W is for what?
Worker.
The worker. And U is for until understanding. What's our understanding? How much we understand affects what we do. D is for determination. What's D for?
Determination.
And H is for?
Happiness.
That's the good one in the modes. Happiness. Okay. Raise your hand if this is new for you. Is this information new? Oh, good. You're making a lot of progress today. It's very technical. How many knew this already? You've come to some of our classes. So this is important. Okay, Radha Krishna, always wait until dawn. If you remember the little sentence, you can trigger the point. That's the point. It's called anchoring. If I have to learn something technical, I have to use a mnemonic skill. It's a trick. All right, and then the 12 km, there are 12 verses, sorry. And those, we'll just see the numbers on those, but we won't try to add that to your memory bank right now. Okay, let us now take a look at, we've gone through the study thing. Let's go into our information, instructional objective slides. We want to just do about a 5-minute looking over everything up until this chapter, really fast, really fast. So you go to your instructional objectives, and we're going to zoom really fast. We talked about this, that the model is Krishnadas Kaviraj and how he makes a reader-friendly approach. Okay, what else do we have? Yeah, when we do an overview, we put together the pieces. We have to analyze, but we put them together. Otherwise, it's loose. That's another thing we do. And the next thing we do skills and drills. We cannot just talk about it. It doesn't stick. We have to actually do a little repetition. And the point is stay on the line. Don't fall off, right? Using your memory. If I use my memory, I won't lose my memory. So we ask you to try to build your skills. And ways to do it are by recall codes and repetition and review and reflection. Okay? Next. We study three levels. We get the overview, the ground view, and we go into the purports to some degree. Okay, next. But we always start with the what? The big picture. If you don't start with if you go to buy a book like Bhagavad Gita, you have to look at the cover title, Bhagavad Gita. That's the big picture. So you start with that. If you just open the book and you don't look at the cover and you look for one word, you won't get the idea. The writer starts with the big picture, and he breaks it into topics. So the wise student will do the same thing. He will start with the big picture, memorize that. He will memorize the topics, and then he goes into detail. Random detail will not give you the picture. It won't work. Okay, next. And we build a strong foundation, the Raistal Japatis. Okay, next. And we use this pearl stepping stone to take you through the slokas, and we see how they connect. Like a chain, they link. Krishna is so clever. He will take one word from one sloka, and he will repeat that one word in the next and then give you the new word. Every sloka is connected. It's not random. Next, we organize it so you can get an idea of what we find where. And the next thing we do, we study the purport, the three parts, the beginning, middle, and end. We talked about that. Every treatise has an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. It doesn't matter what we have. Okay? Next. In the first part of the Gita, in chapter 1, this is the development of our consciousness. If we do not know we're suffering, we're not ready for the Gita. I'm sure everybody here has realized that material life is suffering. Everybody, right? Does anybody here not suffer? You're dressed up warmly. Okay. Then I go to who for help? Guru, right? Then I'm more advanced. I know I have a problem. I go to a doctor if I need help. And then he's going to tell me what I should do, right? In chapter 3, I should worship Vishnu. And then when I do that, I will get knowledge. transcendental knowledge. Each chapter is progressive, and each chapter is a higher stage of not only realization, but benefits. The more you act in knowledge, the more you are advancing in spiritual understanding and the benefits of that understanding. Okay, next. These are how the chapters develop. Chapter 1, I have doubts. Number 2, I go to Guru. Number 3, I do what? I worship Vishnu. I have knowledge as a result of that. And then knowledge brings me to Gyan. And Gyan brings me liberation. What does Gyan bring me?
Liberation
from the clutches of the modes. I'm not the doer. If you think you're the doer, you're still under the clutches of the modes. And that, in the sixth chapter, leads us to Dhyan, meditation. I meditate on Supersoul. And when the perfected stage of that realizes, I'm ready for chapter 7 and knowledge of Krishna, which is the goal. Do you understand the progression? The Gita is not random. It is quite systematic. Okay? And here you see it on the chart, the yoga ladder here. Those below karma yoga, it's bottom animal life. If I follow karma ganda, I'm at least a human being, but I'm not transcendental. If I take to karma yoga, jnana yoga, sangha yoga, I'm acting with the goal of the supreme in mind. But Brahma-Buddha stage, you have to cross the modes. You have to cross over the modes. I can go to Brahman, but I may fall down again. Unless you have a devotee who will take you to Krishna's lotus feet, you will not really have a safe landing. Okay, everybody okay with that one? All right, so we got that. And let's go further. We'll just go to this. Okay, now, in the Gyan section, please look at this chart carefully. Chapter 13, we'll see where we are in the Gyan section. Chapter 13 showed us we had a relationship with Supersoul. What does it do? What's the key word?
Relationship.
And in chapter 14, we learn what? How are we conditioned? We are now all bound up. We are not free yet. And in chapter 15, how do I get rid of that? By what? Detachment, the banyan tree. I have to cut it. In chapter 16, I know that the secret to knowledge is what? Scripture. Anyone who does not follow Scripture, he's demoniac. That's the one thing, the criterion. If I follow Scripture, I'm godly. If I don't follow Scripture, according to the Scriptures, I'm demoniac. That's why we have to know the Scriptures. In chapter 17, we see how the modes affect us in our activities. And the key words are Om Tat Sat. I have to worship with Om Tat Sat in mind, with the Supreme in mind, to perfect all of my activities. And what's this chapter all about? What's the key word?
Surrender.
That's the perfection of renunciation. Surrender to Krishna and all the other things are covered. You don't even have to do them. Is everybody clear on the progression? We're going fast through a lot, so I don't want to lose anybody in the dust. Okay so far? All right. This is what we call orienting ourselves. We have to look back to what we have come up to so that we know what we're going to get. All right, now here we have the Bhagavad Gita, our most famous verse. Abandon all varieties of aversion. Just surrender. One stroke, you end the reactions. You don't have to follow all the other processes. So brilliant. So simple. But nobody wants to do it. Okay, now let's learn these seven sections. Are we ready? Here's your chart. The first section, and I'm going to use this, so this should help us. Well, let's look at the pictures first. Okay. Karma Yoga is our first one. What's our first one?
Karma Yoga.
Then it advances to what?
Gyan
Yoga. If you remember the ladder, it's higher. It's the result of knowledge. If you do Karma Yoga to the perfectional stage, it leads you to Gyan. Just like if I finish the first grade, I can go to the second grade. If I don't finish it, I can't.
Is there a chart for this?
What's that?
Yes, the second.
Oh, yeah, these charts. And they're also, follow your charts. They're in the back. If I'm in Gyan and I know that I'm going to be affected, I have to transcend the modes. I have to know how they act. So the third section will tell me how the modes are going to affect Gyan. So what's the third section about? What do you see? Of this chapter, the modes, huge. So much. You've probably been sitting through a lot of classes, but you may not have quite realized the whole picture. Do you get the difference? Because if you listen to 78 verses and you don't see the topics, it's like getting lost in the forest, right? Lots of trees, but where am I? You have to get up to get the aerial view. Oh, here I am. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, what's next? The modes. Okay, then, what's next? That's the blanks. Now, in the next four, which we'll cover in detail tomorrow, if people are born in a different combination of modes, you see these colors here? Can you move that?
Yes.
You are this. You are a mixture of blue, red, and yellow. Your bodies and your mind, red, yellow, blue, which one are you? This is what you really are. To some degree or another, you are covered by the modes. So the purity of the pure soul is less obvious. It's relatively obvious according to the modes covering. The soul is not as covered in goodness. It's more covered in passion, and it's very covered in ignorance. All of us sitting here are a combination of red, yellow, and blue, and all the admixtures, green, orange, purple. But those three modes are represented by three colors, just as an artist will mix any of those three colors and he can get any color on the spectrum. The material nature mixes those three modes, and what we have is the picture. But the soul is what we have to go, we have to attain the purified state. This is Brahma-Bhuta. This is Brahma-Bhuta. You have begun bhakti. Right now, we are in the preparatory, preliminary stage. Okay? But this is you. Pure. Okay. The coverings have to go. They have to go. So we'll see in the modes that we aim for the yellow one. Yellow is what we want. We want to know how the modes act in yellow. At least if we're there, we're close. If we're in red and blue, we go down. We descend. We degrade. All right. So here we have, this is how people manifest in the modes. But if you work according to your nature, you can perfect yourself. You have to work according to your nature. I don't think there's anybody sitting here who could sit in Loy Bazaar and sell saris all day. Is there anybody here who would like to do that? But those people are happy. Are they sitting here? Is there anybody here who in the summer, in 50-degree weather, could put bricks on his head and work on the rooftop building a building in Vrindavan? Could you do it? No, but somebody has the modes to do it. Everybody has a prescribed nature and duty. You will act that way. You have to act that way. That was the argument with Arjuna. You will fight no matter what you do. But if you fight for me, no reaction. You do it for yourself, reaction. That's the secret of the Gita. From Gyan to pure devotion, notice the chapter section. How do I go from Gyan to Brahma-Bhuta? That's described in that section. Then I do what? Do I stop there at Gyan? No. I have to surrender to whom? Krishna. That's the lotus feet. The goal of Krishna are the lotus feet. If I don't do that, even if I go to Brahma-Bhuta, I can fall back down again. No landing on the plane. What does Arjuna finally decide to do? He agrees to fight, but for the right reason. He will fight. But for what reason and in what mentality? That's the secret of the Gita. You have to know what you do, for whom, and why, and in what mood. Otherwise, you're bound. Red, yellow, blue. Which one will you be? He agrees, and victory is predicted by Sanjaya in the end. It's predicted. He guarantees. He says, of course, wherever these two are, there will be victory. And you'll see it's even Ras. People will say, oh, there's no Ras in the Bhagavad Gita. Let's read something else, like Ujjvala Nilamani. There is Ras in the Gita. You look at the last section by Sanjaya, he was like thrilled, ecstatic, wonderful. He's not saying, oh, this is boring. He doesn't conclude with it. He says, I'm rejoiced when I hear this conversation again and again. So the Gita is quite progressive. Everybody understand that? All right. Now, let us take a look at just pictures of the topics, okay, the analogy pictures, because we're going to focus on pictures, and we have to do the 21 slides and things. Time goes so fast. Okay, here we go. The boomerang. Okay, remember, we're using the guru's idea. If I see a boomerang, we're going to use the boomerang as an analogy for the first topic, which is what? Karma Yoga. Why is the boomerang an example of Karma Yoga? Why? What you come out comes back. Has anybody ever seen a boomerang? How many never heard of one? Some people don't know what it is. They use them in Australia. And you throw it around, and if you throw it properly, it comes right back, and they catch it. They even have competitions. They'll throw the boomerang around. They'll have Olympics. And you have to catch it, because it comes right back. So this represents Karma Yoga. Okay? I want to play a little, before we do these sections, I want to play a little clock game number with you, too, because I want you to know the section numbers. 12 and 12. We're going to go around the chapter in a circle. If it's 12 and I say midnight, what do you think of? It's dark, right? If I say 12 and I say noon, what do you think of? It's light. Okay, the first topic and the last topic are both how many verses? 12. I want you to learn the numbers of verses. 12 and 12. We start with 12, and this means we're starting in the material world, which is what? It's dark. And if we end in the spiritual world, what is it? It's light. So 12 for Karma Yoga and 12 for the last section. We're going to come down to the bottom. Let's try to follow this. 8. How many gopis are there?
Eight.
Loudly?
Eight
gopis. All right, so we know the numbers of 3 out of 7 topics. We have 2 more to learn. I'm going to give you a material reference and a spiritual reference. 12 for Karma Yoga. 8, this is going to be for the worshiping through our work. The next is Gyan. How many Goswamis are there?
Six.
How many?
Six
Goswamis. And 6 is half of 12. How many times was Haridas Thakur beaten in the marketplace?
20.
How many?
31.
No? 22. Close. 22. 22. There are 22 verses on the modes. 12 is for what? Karma Yoga. 6 is for what? Jnana Yoga. The topic. 22 is for the modes. 12 is for what? Karma Yoga. 6 is for what? Jnana Yoga. 22 for the modes. We're going to be looking at those slides. 8 is for worshiping through my work. If I'm a Kshatriya, I should do that. If I'm a Sudra, I should do that. You can't do anything else. Now, in America, they have a store called 7-Eleven. It's open at 7 o'clock and it closes at 11. Yeah, well, now everything's open 24 hours, okay? 7-Eleven. We can number 7. How many mothers are there?
Seven
mothers. And what number is Ekadasi? 11. So we have a spiritual reference, too. So the Karma Yoga section is 12 slokas. The Jnana Yoga section is how big?
Six.
How big is the Modes section?
22.
How big is the section on worshiping according to my nature?
Eight.
How big is the section on pure devotional service? 7. How big is the section on surrender? 11. How big is the section on victory? Okay, 12. All right, I just wanted you to just to have a little relaxation for some numbers so you know how these topics break up. All right, the boomerang represents the what section again?
Karma
Yoga, right. Whatever I do comes back unless I do it for what? For Krishna. Right. You'll have to become red, yellow, blue again. Next. Here are some pencils. Which one is standing up?
Yellow.
I thought this was an interesting picture. Which ones are lying down? Blue and red, because they take us down. Blue and red will take us down. You degrade. If you're acting in passion or in ignorance, you degrade. Yellow will take us up. So we will want to form our consciousness according to the description of the modes in what? Yellow. All right, next. We go past this one. This is too technical right now. All right, here. This is a sign on happiness. I think we'll go even a little further. No, that's special. This is critical. These are charts, right? Okay, those are topic charts. Those are the modes again. This is called a biorhythms chart. This is representing the modes section. All right? Biorhythms are something even the scientists understand, that according to your mind and your intelligence and your emotions and your health, every month you will go like a roller coaster. Anybody experience that? You go up and down and up, and some days you feel wonderful and some days you feel terrible. The secret is to stay steady. Why does the scripture say don't get excited about happiness? Because as soon as you are, you're going to start coming down. And why do they say don't lament if things look bad? Because it's going to come up. So the wise person stays steady. He doesn't get excited about happiness or distress. He's fixed. If I tip the jar, what does the water do? Does it move? Does it change? Like the ocean, it stays steady. So the wise person in Brahma Bhuta, he is fixed. He doesn't react to the external changes. He's fixed. Prabhupada was like that. He could be anywhere. He was neither elated nor depressed. So that represents the modes, how they act, and staying steady. And they compete. They compete on us, and at certain times of the day they act. Like right now, the mode of ignorance starts to predominate. Okay, next. Lemons and lemonade, what does that mean? The body is considered what? A lemon, bad bargain, right? Prabhupada said, the body's a bad bargain. In the West, they say, if you get a lemon, make what? Lemonade. If you buy a used car and it's a bad car, you say, the car's a lemon. If you get a material body, how can you make lemonade out of it? You use it in devotional service. You understand the analogy? This same thing that brought you here, that's the cause of our suffering, if it's engaged in service, it can get you out. Make lemonade out of a bad bargain. Next. Okay, we'll go past this one. The caste system in India, and you see the Brahmins are at the top, but not as much in number. Each one is bigger. Each one is bigger because it's a support system. You will not find that many people brahminically inclined. It's just the way it is. Okay? And you'll see more people who are sudras because that's the support system. Okay, next? Got the lemonade one next? And these are the ways we remember the topics. Next, we didn't organize this. Okay, this is sort of out of order. Okay, carrot and stick. Okay, these slides, I don't think we had the order on this section. Anyway, the carrot and the stick is the motivation. What motivates people who are material? Go back to the carrot and stick. If they want something, they want the carrot. They want happiness. They want results. If they don't want something, they avoid it. That's the stick. That's ignorance. Carrot means passion. I want something. Ignorance means I don't want it. Okay? And that's it? All right. Now, quickly, let us take a look at the series of 21 slides in the modes, because you want to see how they act. Now, we divided them by goodness, passion, and they're very easy to watch. Okay? 7 in goodness, 7 in passion, and 7 in ignorance. All right? And we'll see 7 very quickly. The pictures are large, and it's very simple. Okay? Go ahead. Quickly. Just quickly. Okay. In the mode of goodness, the person is detached. He renounces, and he does his work, his duty. And we use clocks. He'll get up at 4. Right? He'll do what he's supposed to do. All right? Knowledge and goodness. He follows scripture. What does he follow? Scripture. Okay? In renunciation, he does his work, but he renounces the fruit. In terms of knowledge, he follows scripture. Next, what will he do in terms of action? He will do his action dutifully, without attachment to the result. Okay? Next. The worker. He will work without false ego, without sense of pride, and he will be enthusiastic, and he will unwaver, and he'll be very organized and tidy. That's the worker. Next. He will know what he should not do, and he will know what he should not do. He's clear, because he follows scripture. And next, determination. This is the sparrow with the eggs. He is so determined to succeed. That's determined. He's dridhavrata. He's determined. And next, he's clean, right? He's in goodness. His happiness means I perform austerity. It may be poison in the beginning, but it's nectar in the end. Okay? Let's take a look quickly at the pink ones. Passion. He will give something up because it's troublesome. Oh, I don't want to go today. I don't want to do that. Right? Think about these. How many times do I act in passion, goodness, or ignorance? Because these are not just some slides to take up with our time. These are slides that check our own motivation. These are how the modes are affecting us. Okay, how about knowledge? Knowledge and passion means I come up with certain theories or philosophies, but it's material. It's not spiritual. That will not get me out of birth and death. What's my action like? I like results. I want the gold medal. I want an announcement. I want the prize for how many books I distributed. Ask yourself, do I want those things? We're not totally free. Do I need recognition or I won't do it? Think about this. This applies to us. Next, what about the worker in passion? He wants the fruit. He wants the result. If I don't get money, will I not do it? You have to pay me to do everything? Is that service? If I come to the temple, and how much are you paying me to do my job? You have to think about how much am I detached from these things. Okay, what's next? Understanding. That's a weather vane. It goes like this in the wind, right? He's not clear. Well, what should I do? Should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? He doesn't know for sure because he's not following scripture. And the last one? Passion. Oh, no, this one is determination. If I don't get the fruits, I'm not determined. If I don't get the fruit, I'm not going to be determined. I'll be determined if I get it, but if I don't get it, I'm not interested. And the last one, happiness. Oh, That's a dangerous one. Poison in the nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Any contact with the senses, guaranteed poison in the end. Guaranteed. But people still do it. Now let's take a look at ignorance. We're going to run through the seven. New Year's, midnight. How many people in the world were drunk? What a good way to start the year, huh? He gives up his duty because of illusion. What a way to start your year, unconscious. Performing vikarmic activity. What about his knowledge? Limited to the newspaper, to the body. Animal information. Make the body comfortable. Feed it. But no knowledge of the soul. What's his action like? Binding. Everything he does is binding to birth, old age, disease, and death. Everything he does. What about the next one? What kind of a person is the worker in ignorance? He's cheating. He's cheating. He insults others. He puts things off. Okay? What's his mentality? His understanding? It always goes the wrong way. It's the opposite of what it should be. He thinks an ordinary man is God, and he thinks God is an ordinary man. He thinks truth to be untruth and untruth to be truth. Okay? And the last thing, what's his determination? He stays in bed all day. And finally, happiness. Where was his happiness? Did we have that one? Mm-hmm. Was missing? Did you go back that? His happiness. There's no happiness beginning or end. It must be left out of there. Shows again alcohol. That's it's poison at the end as well as at the beginning. All right? And we're running over a little bit. I want us to quickly just go through the slide pictures. We'll look at those. I don't know if we'll have time for the video. Go to our slides. We're going to look at the slides now and just the trigger words that link us from the Karma Yoga section to the Gyan to the modes. And tomorrow we'll do the other four. Okay. What's Arjuna is asking, what's the purpose of renunciation? He wants to know the purpose. Okay, and the next slide, here you see him. Sometimes I put two slides. The purpose, and then Krishna is going to answer, and what's the word he uses here? Can you all say it? Sannyas, right. He explains, what is sannyas? Sannyas means two things, not just the order. It means the mentality. You can be a sannyasi and be a housewife. More so maybe than someone who's in orange. Okay, next slide. This is sannyas in former ages, but in this age, sannyas is different. It's sankirtan yajna. You didn't go off and do meditation. They could do that in the last age. We cannot do that. Now, there's an argument. Some work is faulty. And Krishna wants to know, Arjuna wants to know what's faulty. And Krishna explains, there's difference of opinion, but I'm going to give you mine. In the next sloka, he says, this is my judgment. I will tell you now which sacrifices, austerities, and charity should be done. Next, he said, nothing, sacrifice on charity should not be given up. They purify even the great souls. And he adds in the next sloka, that's my opinion, and that's to be taken as final. In the next sloka, now he tells us about, just as we saw the slides, he talks about renunciation in the modes. If I give it up, like at 10 o'clock, I give up my duty because of illusion, I'm in the mode of what? Ignorance. Next slide. If I do it because it's troublesome, I'm in the mode of what?
Passion.
If I do it out of duty, I renounce, and I do it out of duty, I'm in what mode? That's 4 o'clock. What is that? Goodness. Goodness. All right, the next slide. The intelligent renouncer has no doubts about work because he's following Shastra. Prabhupada went across the ocean at 69 years of age on the order of a guru. He didn't have any doubt. No other person would do that. Next. And no one can stop working. Everybody has to act. to work in this world. You have to work to stay clean, to eat, to support yourself. No one can be inactive. That's impossible. But you have to renounce the fruit, or you have to come back again. Next. At death, this is the reason Arjuna is asking, what's the purpose of renunciation? So that at death, I don't have to take the reaction. I don't have to be a mixture of red, yellow, blue. Those bodies are coming because of a person keeping the fruits, subtle and gross. We're here because we've done that. We don't want to continue doing that. Okay? The five factors of work, we talked about that before. Super soul is in the middle. You have to acknowledge there are five doers, not just yourself. If you know that and you take direction from super soul, no reaction. Anything that's coming from guru, scripture, super soul, no reaction. How is it the devotee can work without reaction? This is the reason. And next, the five factors again. You see the super soul. We talked about those five factors. And next. And whatever right or wrong is caused by these factors, anything we do is caused, anything anybody does. Five factors are, this is coming from Vedanta Sutra, very technical. But you have to understand, we're moving and acting at every point. Unless we are completely fixed in thinking and doing everything for Krishna, we're going to be red, yellow, blue again. Okay, next. And one who thinks he's the only doer, he's not intelligent. He's not intelligent. You just want yourself, and you see it in the newspaper where they're completely in ignorance. They're awarded, he did this, and this man just did that, and I just did that, and I just won that trophy, and I just... They're completely in ignorance, and they're bound up. And they're headed down. The only way you can go up is through devotional service. You can only change the modes through devotional service. And next, what motivates us? If your motive is to follow Krishna's instruction, you're not held responsible. Even if in a war Arjuna kills, he's not responsible. But if he kills on his own account, he is. Or if he doesn't do his work, he's accountable. Either way, it has to be done, and it has to be done for the right reason. And in the next one, constituents. We talked about that, the five factors of the constituents. We went through that with the chart. And here are the colors. Goodness, passion, and ignorance, the three modes. Okay? And I don't know that we'll go through all those slides because we did that with the other section. Do you have a little bit of the video? And we end with a brief clip. I hope you've got the right section. It's a couple of minutes, but it shows you again. We've shown this video many times. But it shows you again, what are the symptoms of a person who's maybe in passion or he's in ignorance? It would probably be at 28, I think. I got that right, 28 minutes. Should only be at 28. We've got a little bit of confusion. All right, so we've had to cover a lot. It's very compressed. Time goes quickly, but I hope... No. Is that 23? Must be 20. Should be 28. No. Is that 23? 28. It's on the right side, what's left. Should be 28 minutes left on the right. Okay, go back where you saw the modes one. Okay, yeah. Okay, go back a little more. This just is a summary of what we talked about, that people, that you can look around now. When you see people, you know which modes they're in. Go back a little bit more. Back still a little bit more. Okay, there you go. A little bit more. Okay, you see the mask there. We see the modes. Okay, we see the effect of the modes in the people we see.
For example, the quality of the soul. Therefore, people influence. and their energy is more focused on matter. Even if they turn to God, they ask Him for only material things such as health, prosperity, and success. These people are energetic, ambitious, creative, and have lots of plans for the future. They are movers of material progress. They are very happy if they are successful and very upset if they fail. For momentary benefit, they are willing to compromise their conscience or the law. Their main driving factor is selfish desire. Under the influence of the mode of ignorance, people manifest such qualities as laziness, passivity, and apathy. These people often lead a sedentary lifestyle. They sleep more than 8 hours a day, barely awake and hardly motivated. They are often late. It is difficult for them to start their own business. It is easier to follow someone else than to take the initiative. They are addicted to intoxication, such as alcohol, tobacco, drugs, and it is very difficult for them to give up these habits. They are always dissatisfied with something, like to criticize others, and tend to shift responsibility to others' shoulders. They are prone to idleness and a parasitic lifestyle.
Stop it there. Okay. So hopefully now you can perceive when you look around a room or you see anybody, you'll know what you're seeing. You'll see red, yellow, blue. Every one of us here has been constructed according to the mentality we had at the last life. It's hard to understand, isn't it? It's hard to accept sometimes. But what we do now, we're writing our destiny. We are creating our next life. And that is why it is so important that we try to do things in the mode of goodness, because it is the platform for elevating to the, relieving these coverings and getting to the platform where the pure soul is unobstructed anymore. What we really are is pure, but right now, the contamination of those three modes is there. And now you find, you look around, you see people, I know, you think, oh, you know, percentage of this and percentage of that. Everybody's an admixture. And you'll never, the highest you can go in the material world, according to the Gita, is Brahma. That's closest to pure goodness, Satchaloka. But we don't want that. And the advantage, we have the chart here, this is the point. We bring this chart in every time. The human body is valuable because you have choice. Demigods do not have choice. Animals do not have choice. Only the human body can choose to go up, down, or out. And that is why the demigods pray for a human birth. What we have is so precious, we do not, if we knew, we would faint.
The human body is rare. It's precious. We're in Vrindavan. We're in Prabhupada's house. We're hearing the Bhagavad Gita. The odds are inconceivable. So hopefully with that understanding and the importance of what little time we have to try to cover this, so it's not too tedious, but at least you get the essence of it. And I hope, again, you can join us tomorrow. We will do the last four sections on work and worship. We'll be talking a bit about Jayananda. And we're going to be seeing what are some of the pitfalls if you try to do somebody else's work, and the importance of surrender and the value of it, and the value of studying the Gita, of preaching the Gita, of hearing the Gita. And never, ever, Krishna says, will anyone ever be more dear. That means ever. What could be more important than the Gita? So we thank you for coming. Sorry we ran over time. We usually do. I hope it wasn't too technical, too difficult. But I think we have to try to appreciate how much is in this chapter.